I've just had the opportunity to spend 2 weeks in the US. What an interesting time to be in the USA, hey? Over the last couple of weeks, as they've had so much transpiring in their nation, and was able to be with a couple, three churches there across two states of America, get a real understanding of sort of getting the eye line of pastors and leaders of the challenges they're dealing with. But as there was shootings across the US, as there was things of great challenge that was seen on social media that cut to the heart of their culture, there was a lot to be walked through. And I'm sort of trying to catch up with you guys how it might have affected Australia, but I want to tell you that it deeply affected America's sense of who they are, their identity. It shook the foundations of what they are believing in and putting their trust in right now. And so many times the American communities have sort of said, you know, we'll raise the flag and we'll go after that. But actually, that's actually failing right now. And so what they're looking for, people across that, the generations and also the churches in America, is looking back to things that are solid, things that stand. What did we first believe? And so churches were filled over the last couple of weekends, not because of my preaching, but because of the situations that were going on. And, you know, it's really interesting to have the privilege of being an Australian who's coming from a different outside perspective, standing alongside, putting your shoulder in against with leaders and saying, how can we help? How can we serve? Bring about the understanding of what the gospel line is, not the political line. And they're very different friends, you know, and we might do well to remember that. That actually the gospel line always comes back to the centrality of what Jesus is going to do in and among us and gives everyone the opportunity to become unified in him. But as we were there, I mean, I'm aware that, you know, things are going on in Australia and God has been moving here. He continues to increase all over the world. I was getting messages from the Philippines talking about a super typhoon that was going through there, praying for those in those communities who are facing different challenges. You got cultural challenge. You've got climate challenge that's actually happening right in the midst of our neighbours. And even in the depths of hearts of people in Australia, what challenges are they facing that are quieter and not as well known? One of the things I want to talk about this morning is we have this opportunity to reflect on the power of the gospel. Whenever you see a baptism time, or if you've never been to one of these before, this is the real moment where people are making a decision to publicly declare that they believe in Jesus. And in our nation, we are still freely able to do that, largely without persecution. In many nations, this would be you actually renouncing your nationality, possibly your family, and possibly very dangerous for you to do this. And across the world, we need to remember the power of the gospel that moves a human heart to respond to Jesus in a way that even despite challenge, despite circumstance, that someone would have a love for Jesus that's greater than all of that to say, I want to declare it publicly. And the people that you see today who get baptized are doing no less than that. They are declaring their public stand in faith and their absolute allegiance to Jesus. And that is an amazing thing. And I was thinking about this thing in the light of the last couple of weeks and listening to what people do when they stand on the gospel versus what people don't do when they don't know the gospel. You know, in our nation and across the world, as soon as there's a problem, how many people struggle to take responsibility? Doesn't that make you annoyed? There's always a deflection. There's always a putting off. It's always someone else's fault. And, or it's not my business, they did it. I'm not going to be commenting on that, you know? And I just started thinking about how the gospel has really caused us to be able to take the ability to take or come into the understanding that we can take the response to Jesus really clearly and see his ability come to our lives. So I'm going to do a bit of a play on words this morning. That what is actually happening for us is we have a gospel response and ability. It changes us from being people who might not want to be, you know, punished or with fearful of punishment. So we want to actually deflect or we are scared of what someone would think of us, or we're fearful of how we look or act. Instead of that, we actually come into a place where the gospel causes us to be able to respond differently and have this internal changed ability to do things that we wouldn't normally do. Maybe, you know, this is where some of the ideas about superheroes came from, was that people were actually thinking, I would love to live in a different way, but I don't feel able to in the environment I'm in. This morning, I want to talk about what it is to take gospel responsibility. We've been talking about what it is to increase, and I want to tell you that through these scriptures, you're going to hear today that the gospel is actually increasing all over the world. That as we receive what God's doing, respond to what he's doing, not to what everything else around us, you receive an ability to do things differently. As the last 2 weeks unfolded, I saw moments privately and publicly where we would see church leaders in a room opening their hearts and saying, we don't know what to do with this moment. God, show us your way. I saw the release of leaders in churches. As we were preaching to people, talking to people, opening up the opportunity for churches to grow, there was a release of leaders, people who would take responsibility and act on it. That's opposite to culture, right? When something bad happens, everybody pulls back. Let's see how this works out. What people do in the gospel world is actually they step forward into that place and take the moment. We saw cohorts of disciples defining prayer teams happen in a moment, in a morning, ready to be able to receive those who were struggling with what had happened in America. On Saturday, there wasn't a prayer meeting. On Sunday, a prayer team. By Sunday, there was. And people were responding, coming into churches and saying, I don't know where else to turn. Families coming to the front, being prayed for by a prayer team that didn't exist until Saturday. The gospel moves people towards the problems of the world and deals with them. I saw one family come forward, a father and three sons, come forward in Indiana, step forward, and the father says in front of his sons, I have not been living the life that God called me to. And I want these three boys to hear me say it, and then I want you to pray for us that we would all live in it. Moments where God says, it's time. My gospel will do something different in your life. What is the gospel? The message of good news that transforms us. My daughters were with me in LA. They paid their own fares to get there to LA to come and be part of our family of churches and be a part of that. And Anastasia on the first day, she doesn't like me mentioning her name, so don't remember that. But she speaks to a young man at Raising Cane's. You're going to have to look up to find out what that is, but it's a fast food joint. And she speaks to him and was just moved by God to say, you need to be at church on Sunday. My dad's going to be preaching there. You need to come and be a part of that church. This guy moves his shift and he gets there. And that's like 4 or 5 days later. I mean, sometimes people can't remember the next 10 minutes. People being invited into a place where they respond to Jesus and get to the heart of what God's doing. Salvations, the moments where God engages people in the depth of their heart and seeing people respond to that. Marriage is restored. You know, God's about relationships. He wants to see things that were too hard for us and too hard for others given up on, be restored. These things were happening all across a couple of weeks. Stepping into a large context of prayer and bringing clarity. One of my good friends, Alan Frau, saying, you know, this is not a time where we need to politically capitalize. This is an opportunity for the catalyst of the gospel to spread across a nation. Wow. People stepping into the heart of God and asking and exhorting and encouraging. Praying in context like that. And then finding myself in a room with 100 high school football players and praying for them, arm in arm, as they went out to a field of battle. And very uncomfortably, as many of you would know, that making Instagram. A prayer. I'm going to read to you Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to read about what the gospel response was or is in our hearts as we take hold of what God is saying. A gospel response looks like the Colossae church. Paul, one of the apostles, one of the disciples of Christ, speaking to them in a letter, says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven." The gospel had come to this community, to this church, and it had responded in ways that were very different than what was happening in the world. He goes on to say, "Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel," one of the only times the gospel is really mentioned clearly in Scripture, "the good news, which has come to you, and indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing." Sometimes in our world, when everything's clogged in around us and coming in around us, we forget that the gospel, the good news, the reality of God is still working all the time, everywhere. "As it does also among you." Oh, that's right. It's among us. "Since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant." Someone had to say it, friends. Someone had to speak it. Someone had to give the message. "He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit." He had made known Epaphras, a faithful follower of Jesus, who had spoken the word to these people, reminded them, had given them the courage and the transformation understanding to know this is not something you do in your own strength. This is by the Spirit of God. Your response even comes by the Spirit of God. Today, as I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit might come upon you and cause you to feel stirred in a way that is not just emotion. It is not just mental assent. There's actually something deeply working in you saying, actually, there's a calling. There's something deeper and a longing that is wanting to be fulfilled. That is the Holy Spirit that calls us to response, helps us with our response, and then helps us in our ability to walk in this life. In verse 9, it says, and so, "from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and he has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have a redemption and the forgiveness of sins." There is a transformation that happens in us as we respond that is just on our surrender, our yielding. God comes and does all that he's been desiring to do. Fills us with strength and wisdom and forgiveness and the ability to do what we have never been able to do before. Change happens in us, friends, before it happens out from us. Let me recap what Paul captures here. He says, on your hearing of the gospel, on your hearing of the goodness of what Jesus has done as he's come to you in his grace and the power of his mercy to see you set free, you then put your trust in him, not everything else, faith in Christ. You do something that's completely otherworldly, which is love other people more than yourself. This is what's happening in that church and anyone who's responded to the gospel. Suddenly you have a hope that is no longer bound to this world. It is now eternal. I will be with him forever. That changes the way I think about everything. Knowing forgiveness, we forgive. Knowing his fruitfulness, when we've been barren, we are fruitful. Knowing that God is increasing in us and through us and across the globe with all he's doing. We are now spirit-filled, not by our own desires, but his desires. We are strengthened, we are qualified. Man, so many people disqualify themselves from doing anything, amen? Can't get out of their bubble. God says, hey, I'm going to transfer you into a kingdom where you are qualified and you are inheriting this. God is wanting you to inherit all that he has. He's not holding out a carrot and saying, jump, how high? He's actually saying, I've given this to you. So this is just the response. Just in the response to the gospel message, this is what you receive. We haven't done a thing yet. And this is what we receive daily. This is what's spreading across the world. This is what's increasing. That people are relieved of their good works and able to walk in His. There is a gospel response. But then Paul goes on to say in the last chapters, I'm going to skip a fair bit of this book and land right into the end, because I know that some of you just like to get to the end of the book and just read, where's all this going? But when they heard the gospel, others saw it increasing in them. And so then they encouraged them all the more, let it increase. But Paul says them in the end of, in chapter 4, this is how this walks out through your life. Continue. Continue. Now that's not a very exciting word, is it? Continue. But let me tell you, it's the most powerful word. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. You might say, well, that's easy. Three things, done. That is impossible to do without God, friends. To continue steadfastly, focused on Him and what He's doing ongoingly, being watchful, not distracted, and doing it with thanksgiving, never getting grumpy. Now you get it? Yeah, okay. So this ability that's given to us by the gospel is amazing. Not only the response that brings all of those things we receive, but now the gospel ability that God gives. And it says, at the same time, two things at once. Guys, you ready for this? At the same time, thank you, Beanie, for laughing. Pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word. So don't just pray for yourself. Pray for us. The two things. The door might be open for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. This is Paul speaking. That I might make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Back to us. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders. Not in judgment. Not in repeal. Not in annoyance. Let's walk with wisdom His way. Making the best use of the time, let your speech always be gracious. Why did He have to put that word always in there? Because otherwise we'd be able to do it. You might even say, well, I do it most of the time. Okay, well, that's not gospel ability. That's your ability. The gospel's ability does it at all times. The message of the gospel says, I am working something through your life, and it's coming out as a witness in your life. Making the best use of time, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Why does He say seasoned with salt? Well, have you ever had steak without it? It's bland, right? Come on. I've been speaking in America where people yell back at you. You've got to get me a hand here. Salt makes things vibrant, tasty, responsive, not boring. Okay, I believe in Jesus and I really love Him. That's not emphatic, right? There's something about what Jesus has done in your life that needs to come through with the passion and the determination that He has saved you. He has brought it through your life and now He's delivering it. The gospel ability that God gives us. What does Paul mention here? Let's not neglect the fact that prayer is powerful. Prayer is what gospel people get to do. We get to respond to the gospel, the freedom, and the understanding of who He is, and then we get to pray freely for ourselves and others. Prayer is powerful. The enemy, the devil, does not want you praying. Okay? So you're not going to feel like it. You need to know it's what we do. It's what we do. When you're 13,000 kilometers away and someone's ill or someone's suffering or something, you know, you suddenly can't go, hey, I'm going to do something at 3 a.m. in the morning. You pray. And we see the power of God released. The gospel work is in me and it's through me and His ability is upon me. I'm going to pray. I get to pray. It's not the last thing we do. It's the first thing we do. Steadfastly, unwavering communication with God. You're my first go-to. I know Google's on my phone. I know ChatGPT's there. That will be helpful references, but you are the origin. You can use them. Just say, after God's told you what he wants to say, go to ChatGPT and Google and say, what do you say about what God said? We're watchful and grateful. Now, that's two things that are really hard to do, because I think Paul linked these together, because as soon as we're grumpy, we're not very watchful. So we've got to be watchful and grateful. God has given us the ability to be watchful, looking out for what's affecting us, being smarter with what is coming towards us, and seeing and being sober. Man, does that moment open up in America where the Charlie Kirk stuff was going down? A young girl was brutally murdered on a train. A school shooting happened all within a week. And they were trying to commemorate the September 11th. That's a lot, friends. You could be forgiven for not wanting to see anything or be very sober-minded. And yet that is the encouragement that the gospel brings. Be sober-minded. Look at it, know what you're seeing, and know what to do with it. That's what gospel ability is. The ability to look darkness right in the eye and say, I've got light for you. Praying for an open door. Lord, I'm ready for whatever you're bringing. That open door you want to bring. What is it that you're going to do? And I believe doors are people. So God's going to bring open doors to us through our lives. And some of them are irritating and some of them are glorious. And both we need to respond with the same thing. The mystery of the gospel. He's like, whether they're annoying, it's like, thank you, Lord, for this annoying door that I'm about to walk through. Or glorious, thank you for this great opportunity I have. We respond in the same way. We declare the mystery of the gospel boldly. That this probably is not going to make sense to you except by the grace of God. Because it is amazing what God has done in and through us and wants to relieve us from, so that we have the ability to walk with him. God really wants what he created to walk fully in the power of what he has for you. He knows exactly how he's designed you, made you, what you're ready for, and what he wants to do with you. That's why we trust him. But it is a mystery that he wants to do that in every person on this planet. He wants us to walk with wisdom his way, graciously. Wow. I'm back to responding to God. God, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Because when I remember that, I can be gracious to others. Thank you that it's only by your grace, only by your power, only in faith that I stand in this place with you, qualified to be able to witness to what you've done and graciously able to engage others. You see, as soon as we start remembering the power of the gospel, what he's done for us, then we're able to be gracious. And that comes out of our lives. An ability comes to us to be gracious where we weren't gracious before. Without the gospel, we're judgmental. We'll be like, why did that person do that? Or hurt, or pained, or struggling? When we need forgiveness, when we get forgiveness, we remember the power of forgiveness towards others. Jesus, you've forgiven me. You said to me, I don't know what I'm doing when I'm putting you on that cross, when I'm letting my sin hold you there, and that you died for my sins. You were raised to overcome all things and deliver me into freedom. But I remember there was a cost paid. There was a price paid. And now I am going to be gracious, but I'm also going to give time to others. You know, how many times did Jesus in the Word stop for those who no one would have stopped for? They were either didn't have the right, we might not stop because they don't have the right requirements or, you know, the qualifications, or they're not someone we would need to engage. Jesus stopped for those people and he gave them time at the irritation of many, including his own disciples. Even the little children he stopped for. He made time for. That's what his people are like. We have an ability. We don't think about it. Oh, what should I do? What's the checklist? We're just like, this ability has come to me because I've received the message of the gospel. I've received the truth of what it's like to live free. And lastly, he says, don't waste time. Be determined to follow what God's asking you of your life. Wake up every morning and say, God, I know you've got determined plans for me. I'm ready for it. I don't know what doors you're going to open. I don't know how you're going to need to be gracious through my life or forgiving through my life. Or I'm ready. I'm expectant. But God, I don't want to be distracted. I mean, our nation pays huge amounts of money to be distracted from anything. I'm literally sitting with a guy on Saturday talking to him. And I talked about just coming back from America. I'm talking about the reality of what I've walked through and what I've been doing and going into churches. And he's like, well, to be honest, Ben, and I thought this was the most brutal honesty, most helpful, I just want to sit down, watch a grand final and forget about it all. Check your heart. Where are we really at? Is that the way we're going to deal with stuff? Because that's not what God's called us to. But I thought it was honest. It was real. I could start a conversation from there. It usually with me ends up with, what are you doing with your life? But that's the reality that was needed in that moment, to be honest. A guy actually said it. I'm like, finally, someone said it. Instead of making out they're not going to say it. What are you distracted by right now? God determines our lives when we're Christians, when we believe. This is what people are going to go into this water and say, God, you will give me the ability to live this life. It won't be from my heart. It'll be from yours. All right, let's look at an example of this, because otherwise you might not believe me. In Acts 8, where one of the disciples, Philip, full of the Holy Spirit, responding to Jesus in the way that we've just heard from Colossians, starts walking in the power of what God's doing. Listen to what happens to his life. This could be any one of you this week. You ready for this? Have I got your attention? Okay, living the gospel ability that the message brings. In verse 26 of chapter 8, it says this. Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, we can suppose that Philip might have been praying in his normal communication with God. Angel of the Lord turns up. Not Old Testament friends, New Testament. Would that get your attention? Get my attention. Maybe Philip was a little bit dopey. Maybe Philip was a little bit distracted. Maybe he needed the angel of the Lord. Rise and go down towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose up and he went. Doesn't sound like a good destination, does it, friends? Hey, I want to be called by Jesus to, you know, Fiji, Hawaii, you know? No, no, you're not going to that. You're going to the Saudi Arabian desert. Thank you, Jesus. So what's he do? Complain about it? Get distracted? Find something else to do? And he rose and he went. So he's in prayer, and now he's watchful. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. All we get from that is this guy was a really big deal with really big connections, probably going to affect a whole nation. And he's sitting there reading the prophet Isaiah. What's he reading about? And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Philip had no right to go and join a chariot. He had no right to approach the guy, but because of his gospel qualification and the fact that God had his attention, he's moved by the Spirit, not the flesh. He's moved by the Spirit, not the circumstance. Go over to his chariot. So Philip ran to him. That's the way we should respond to God. Run. So he ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading? And he said to him, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask, does the prophet say this about himself or someone else? See, this is a moment where the gospel is working in and through Philip. There's an open door. He's dealt with his disqualification issues. He's run to the chariot. He's now sitting with this guy. The guy's saying, what am I reading? This is not a hard conversation, friends. What am I reading? What is it that is being said here? Then Philip opened his mouth. Sometimes it's just that. You don't know what's going to come out of it. It's really obedient, isn't it? Philip opened his mouth. And beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And they were going along the road, and they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. It's convenient. See, here is water. What prevents us from being baptized? Good question. And he commanded the chariot to stop. This is the Ethiopian's response. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So Philip was not the answer, because Philip got carried away, and he's no longer walking the journey with him. But the eunuch went on with Jesus. So we're not the big deal. We're just the agency through which God wants to work. He loves us. We're a big deal to him. But we're not a big deal to the situation. The same message that comes to us is the big deal through the one who brings it, which is Jesus. And then we respond to him and we have an ability. So the eunuch goes on. We don't know what happens from this point of view. It could have actually affected the whole nation, just this one man being engaged. It could affect the whole nation, just us engaging one person. In verse 40 it says, but Philip found himself in Azotus and passed through he preached the gospel into all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The interesting thing about that comment is we can sometimes have a moment and think, Jesus, that's it, we've done it. Thank you for having my gospel moment. That's it. It's carried away by the Spirit. It was a moment with the Ethiopian, but then it was every moment on his way back. Everywhere he was, at every city, Philip did the same thing. So it is one moment sometimes, and it's every moment that God would determine us to be a part of. What I'm hoping to just show you by that scripture is exactly what was said in Colossians, that the ability, response for the gospel response and ability for Philip to respond in the way he did was all through the message and the power of the gospel and what he's done in our lives. And as people go down to the water, they're raised up and they come out into a place of saying, I have publicly declared what Jesus has done. They are responding in a way that now the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon them to give them an ability to actually live this out every day. It also gives us the ability to respond and encourage them every day. Hey, I remember when you made that stance. How are you going with your walk? Are you still living in the ability that God has given you? In the ability that message continues to deliver to you. I wonder today if there was people who actually were like, God, I have tried to take responsibility for my life. And I've really struggled to walk things out in the way that is good or wholesome or whatever the world determines. And I wondered if there would be a moment where you might actually give your life to Christ and say, actually, I'm going to hand this over to you. I'm going to respond to your message and receive your ability to live this. You might have tried to forgive others. You might have tried to be gracious to others. You might have tried. And it's like, I try, and sometimes I can, and sometimes I can't. What the gospel means is you always have a message that's ready to be deployed in and through your life. That every time you remember what God has done, you are able to walk in an ability that God has given you to do that towards others. It's incredible that we get the chance to walk with God in this way. And God has determined that for us. So that's why we are excited when people make a decision to be baptized, because they're declaring this is the day where we will overcome from now on by his ability, not my own. Not only have I responded to the gospel and faith come to me and I'm part of the kingdom, but I'm actually able to live it. He comes to us. He meets us right where we're at. An Ethiopian, opening scripture he didn't understand, sends someone. He meets us right where we're at. He's wanting to meet you where you're at today. He does want to befriend us, draw us into a relationship. Actually betroth us, say, you're part of my bride that I want to be living forever with at the end of time. And I do want you to become like me. That's what Christ has called us to. So this morning, maybe you've done this. Maybe you're on your journey, in the journey of this. Maybe it's something new to you that you're able to walk in from this moment forward. We get a chance to take God's responsibility. No longer shirk the issues that come towards us at life, but actually just say, the message of the gospel is proven faithful. In others, to me, and through me, it will prove faithful because he is with us. We can genuinely receive the good news of the gospel this morning that Beanie put out this morning as he read through Romans, that I actually don't need to live, but Christ can live through me. We can actually live in the ability that the gospel commands. Grace, peace, love, joy, forgiveness, hope, an extension of our understanding of all that God can do in and through any human being on this planet. Man, it's ever increasing, not diminishing. When everything in the world around us is diminishing, we get to open our hands, and instead of seeing things run through it and fall onto the ground, we get to see things run through our hands that God has given and see life come everywhere. As the band comes up this morning, and as we head towards the baptisms, I want to make sure that there's an opportunity for every heart in this room to respond in the way that God always intended. Isn't it so freeing that it's just our response that brings the power of gospel to our lives? Not something you've done, you've been capable of, you've been qualified for, that you've lived up to, something that He's done. And we get to respond to that. Open our hands and allow God to work in and through our lives with His ability. As these guys sing this morning and lead us, won't you let your heart be led to the response of the gospel once more? Actually, God, I believe what you've said and what you've done is true. Maybe it's the first time you're doing this. You say, God, actually, I've seen it all the other ways. I've seen the diminishing ways. I want the increasing ways of God. Then you can start with us this morning, no less in the power of what He's saying, and let it come to your life, and the ability work through your life of the message and the power of Jesus and His teaching. The kids are going to come up. They're going to be part of what we're doing. Kids love to do what we're doing. You know, they love to see what we're up to up here. We don't get to see what they're up to down there, but they get to see what we're up to up here. And it's powerful for young people to be able to see lives taking a stand. But as many as are going to go in that pool, there's lives all across this room that God's looking for to make a stand. He's wanting your response and His ability to invade your life. Would you mind standing with me as we're just about to sing? Lord God, we thank You, Father, that across the world, Your gospel is increasing. The message that You gave through Your life, laying down Your life for us, is bearing fruit. And Lord, even today, we want to open our hearts to be fertile soil, ready for what You want to do in our lives. Jesus, we receive this message that You have said, pure and powerful, afresh and anew, that You gave Your life that we might be united with God. We might be returned to the fullness of the covenant and the peace that You intended for our lives. And Lord, we just come before You again knowing that everything that You've delivered to us gives us the ability by Your power and Your authority to walk in the freedom to be able to love others, forgive others, increasingly engage others with this same message, Lord God. This morning, won't You let it take hold in our lives, Lord God, anew and afresh, Lord God, and let Your ability come to us in the strength of all You're doing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.